Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A.'s financial results for 2021. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO of Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. First, I would like to welcome everybody to our 2021 earnings call. We're gonna go through some of the highlights here, on the financial side and on the business specifics. As usual, then after the explanation, we'll have a Q&A session. For 2021 financial results for both Promopar and Ferroporte, they were positively impacted by the appreciation of the U.S. dollar against the BRL, which had an FX rate of 5.28 in 2020 and 5.40 on average in 2021, along with a slight increase on the take-or-pay tariff, which was escalated by 0.6% following a percentage of the PPA as per the contracts. The increase more than compensated the decrease in revenues from the T-oil ports tariffs caused by the discounts granted from Ferroporte to the oil vessels. Ferroporte handled 23.1 million tons of iron ore during 2021, a decrease of 3% compared to the volumes of 2020. Ferroporte's adjusted EBITDA increased 1.7% to 747.7 million BRL, and an adjusted EBITDA margin decreased 100 basis points to 81.6% in the year. In 2021, Ferroporte distributed to Promopar and to Anglo American 474.1 million BRL as intercompany loan repayment versus 737.5 million in 2020. The decrease was due to the compensation amounts for the settlement of the agreement received in April 2020 by Ferroporte. In 2021, Promopar received, after 1.5 million of withholding tax, 235.5 million BRL of intercompany loan payment versus 365.2 million in 2020. In 2021, the cash received by Promopar allowed the company to honor all interest, legal, and target payments related to the bonds, accumulate cash, and distribute some of the allowed amounts to its shareholder, Prumo Logística. In December of 2021, Promopar actually distributed 87.7 million to Prumo Logística. Going a little bit to the business specifics, as we already touched on the iron ore, when we look only quarter against quarter, for 2020 and 2021, there was a decrease of 9.8% on the volumes handled at Ferroporte. As stated, when we look to the full year, 2020 against 2021, there was a decrease of 3%, which was lower than the comparison on the fourth quarter. Going to the adjusted EBITDA, as we usually show, we can compare the quarter-over-quarter amounts. You have that. Hello? Voltou? Ok, sorry, we had some problems here. So I was going to start talking about the ESG topic that we faced some questions on the last couple of calls. So we're going to go through a little bit of the strategy and the actions at Ferroport. So Ferroport structures its ESG policies in actions following the ESG score ranking, which is done and evaluated by a third party called Citowi here in Brazil. These ranks evaluate some specific measures that are done by Ferroport, and we have scales from that from 0 to 10, and that indicates the company's status on each one of those specific metrics. That range of, let's say, notes could be varying from what they call the superior, which is the best rank, to critical, which is the worst one, in each section measured and for the company as a whole. During 2021, Ferroport structured an action plan with 60 activities to maintain and improve the company's ESG score, and all the actions were successfully completed in one time. Some ESG topics that are considered just as an example is reduction of the solid waste, the water management with high water reuse, and strong local engagement with employees and suppliers from the region, in addition to participation in local committees. A code of ethics that includes the best conduct practices for employees of the company, and improvements that the company is aiming for 2022 and in the upcoming years are the certification of management and monitoring of water resources through an ISO certification, the creation of energy efficiency KPIs related to the volume of energy being used for handling iron ore, investments in R&D for technologies to reduce the company's emissions, particulate matter specifically, and reports to the Atmospheric Emission to Carbon Disclosure Project, CDP, and increase investments in local socioeconomic development actions. So those were examples of the measures from the company on those specific ESG actions. Going to highlights on the consolidated financial reports, first, we will start with the Ferroport figures. The consolidated net revenues for 2021 increased 2.9% when we compare to the figures of 2020, as we said, impacted by the dollar's appreciation against the Brazilian real, which increased from an average of 5.28 in 2020 to 5.40 in 2021, and by the increase of the base tariff of 0.6% in the take-or-pay. This gain was partially offset by the tariffs discounts granted to the T-oil vessels. Revenues from iron ore, which means the take-or-pay, increased 4% to 1 billion roughly, and the port taxes fee from the T-oil decreased more than 18% to 26.3 million due to the discounts that we described as well. For 2021, costs of services increased 3.4%, although the maintenance dredging occurred in 2020. Should cause a decrease in costs in 2021. The decrease was partially offset by increases in depreciation and amortization of roughly 25 million BRL due to an adjustment in the methodology, which impacted retroactively 19 million from 2014 to 2020, on the payroll and related charges of 6.9 million due to some adequacy on payroll provisions, and consumable spare parts of 6.8 million, mainly impacted by the increase in energy costs. When we look to the SG&A expenses, remained relatively stable, with a decrease of 1.4% in 2021 compared to the last year. However, overall operating expenses decreased 14.4% compared to 2020, primarily due to the higher income on net sales of non-consumed electric energy, which increased 3 million comparing to 2020 figures, caused by the price of energy sold at the spot market a reversal on credit losses. When we look to the net financial losses, summed 18.9 million versus an income of 18.1 million reported for 2020. The difference comes mainly to the increase driven by the exchange and monetary variations on the gain of the arbitration settlement, which summed 70 million BRL in 2020. For 2021, income before taxes amount 645 million, leading to an income of 435 million versus a net income of 414.5 million for 2020. Looking a little bit to the cash flow statement of Ferroporte, cash from operating activities amounted 562.9 million for the year of 2021, which represents an increase of 90 million if compared to 2020, impacted mainly by the reduction of the interest paid, which is accounted as a working capital variation here on this table showed on the report. It is important to highlight that by the end of 2020, Ferroport paid the last portion of accumulated interests on its balance sheet, and consequently, the interest paid on intercompany loan plummeted on the principal paid, accounted at cash flow from financial activities increased. The CapEx for 2020 summed 43 million BRL. The main expenditures were related to the operational efficiency investments of 10.9 million, corrosion repairing of 7.7 million, and substitution of median voltage drivers of 7.1 million BRL. The remainder was associated to staying business CapEx, such as an environmental compensation, spare parts, and work safety. During 2021, Ferroporte amortized 456.6 million BRL of principal from the intercompany loan. Just a highlight on the balance sheet at Ferroporte, the consolidated cash and securities on December 31st, 2021 were 140.5 million BRL, and current receivables from related parties summed 90.6 million. Unlike previous years, the take-or-pay payment from Anglo American was made still in 2021 and not postponed to the following year, which explains the increase in cash and equivalent and consequent decrease in accounts receivables when compared to the 2020 figures. Company's intercompany loan was 97.1 million, out of which 73.4 was due to Promopar. And it's worth mentioning that intercompany loan was completely repaid during the first quarter of 2022 already. Switching to Promopar figures on the income statement, the last 12 months ended in December 31st, 2021. Promopar's net financial loss decreased 257 million, which represents roughly 50% if compared to 2020, mainly due to the depreciation of the real against the US dollar. During 2021, interest expenses decreased 5 million due to the decrease in total debt outstanding. Net exchange variation increased 261.5 million, and interests received on intercompany loan interest decreased 12.5 million BRL. Net losses amounted 36.3 versus a net loss of 304.6 million for the same period of 2020. On the cash flow statement, Since Promopar is successfully paying its debt service at target level, honoring with all the conditions in the financing documents and accumulating cash by the end of 2021, in accordance with the financing documents, Promopar granted $87.7 million distribution to its shareholder, Prumo Logística, as per the triggers achieved, and that cash was sitting at Promopar for quite a while before that distribution. Regarding its intercompany loan with Ferroport, Promopar received $226.9 million of principal and $8.6 million of interest, already net of taxes. The decrease comparing to the 2020 figures is related, as we mentioned already, for the settlements arbitration amounts that were paid in 2020 for Ferroport by Anglo. In 2021, Promopar paid $23 million on interests and $12.7 million on principal related to the regular target amortization. Finally, on the balance sheet of Promopar, reported cash and cash equivalents were 11 million BRL. The decrease compared the figures of December 31st, 2020, is due to a higher amount on regular principal amortization, along with the intercompany loan granted to Prumo. The escrow account increased slightly when comparing to December 31st, 2020, due to the exchange variation when we look to the figures in BRL, which was partially compensated by a decrease in the amount due to lower requirement for the following semester. As of December 31st, 2021, the escrow account was represented only by the debt service reserve account constituted in US dollars, which summed $11.4 million. With those, I would like to go back to the operator so we can start the Q&A session, if you have any.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star two. Please hold while we gather the query requests. Our first question comes from Till Moewes with Schroders. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hello, and thanks for taking my question. If I look back at the projections provided and the engineering study during the roadshow, then the EBITDA projections for 2021, I think was around 140 million, and we saw 136 million coming out now. So I wonder if you could explain the difference. And the second question would be, again, looking at the engineering study, what do you expect are going to be the main differences between projection and actual results in 2022? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question, Till. I'm not sure I got it at all. It was a little bit bad on the connection here, at least on my side. As far as I understood, you're requesting about the difference on the real performed figures for 2021 and the projections done by the time of the issuance of the bond. Which is
Correct.
Of course okay, which is of course based on some assumptions, and again, we could provide with a little bit more detailed offline, but generally, of course, we use some of the projections at that time regarding the escalation of the PPI, for instance. What would be the exchange rate? What would be the volume being handled? Then everything of those examples that I just mentioned they have impacts on the real figures. So at the end, when we compared mainly to the projections that we were using back there, what we could see here is that we're following, let's say, the plan in terms of achieving the payments on the target schedule, which is which means at the end of the day that we're gonna have the repayments of the whole debt being done in the shorter period when we compare to the legal schedule on the amortization. Those figures, they vary a little bit again compared to the assumptions used back there. As I said, some of them work for the good side, some of them work to the bad side, increasing or decreasing margins and the results as well. For instance, the PPI that we're facing now, it's much higher than what was projected back there. And this brings more on the good side of this one, particularly better results than using the other terms, let's say all constants, when we compare the figures with the material that was used as a base case on the issuance of the bond back there in 2019. But again, I just described a little bit conceptually, but if you need afterwards some more specific details, we can provide in a discussion offline. I don't know if it helped.
Okay, yeah, let's do that perhaps. So that's for the backwards looking part of 2021. The second part of the question was, looking into 2022, where do you think we'll see the biggest deviations compared to projections?
Yeah, okay, again, I just described one topic that we are already facing as one of the changes, which is the PPI escalation. Just talking a little bit, looking ahead, I mean, we're doing the results and looking to the results of 2021, but what we could already say about 2022 is that the PPI was much higher than what was expected. And these will have, of course, a positive impact on the basic tariff being escalated by a higher percentage to what was used back there on the assumptions. But we're going to see, again, several movements on volumes, effects, costs, and local BRL escalation of costs, energy prices, all that, I mean, of course, varying when compared to the assumption. But the important message again is that consistently, and if you go to the report and be able to take a look at the charts, when we compare quarter over quarter the amounts of the adjusted EBITDA and the margins, we could see that we are facing ranges from the high 70s and mid 80s on those margins consistently, depending if we have or not the dredging kicking in, or a little bit more costs or escalation of the costs here and there. But we could see that we're varying on that range of EBITDA margin, which again, it's something that it's very consistent. And in some of the specific quarters, a little bit higher than what was projected on the material back there in 2019.
All right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Please hold while we gather the query requests. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to thank you all on participating on this call, and we'll come back with the first quarter results really soon. And already advancing, we can see, as I stated already, the PPI escalation higher than what was projected back there. So we'll see that's already kicking in the first quarter results. Going to have this soon. So thank you very much again, and talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That does conclude Prumo Participações e Investimento S.A.'s financial results for 2021 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call. You may now disconnect.